In the year since Russell M. Nelson took charge of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, there's been a flurry of change, including some controversial issues, like empowering women in the temple ceremony, or allowing parents more say in how church leaders talk to their children about sex. But as KUER's Lee Hale reports, many of these developments aren't new ideas. They've been requested by church members for years.
There's an understanding among Latter-day Saints. Change happens from the top when God speaks through his prophet, and it's been that way since the beginning. But it hasn't kept church members from advocating for change. One of them is Amber Chorby Whiteley. Back in 2013, she and a group of Latter-day Saint feminists wanted a woman to pray in the church's twice-yearly general conference. Women had given talks, but never prayed. It seemed like a simple oversight.
What a reasonable request. They're going to grant us what we're asking, and maybe they'd never even thought about it before, you know.
Whiteley reached out to a few fellow feminists, and before long, a new Facebook page called Let Women Pray sprung up, and it grew. The goal was simple. They were going to collect hundreds of letters asking for the change, and then deliver them to top church leaders who they thought would be sympathetic to their cause. Whiteley says this made some Latter-day Saints very uncomfortable. Some members of her local congregation even told her that if she didn't like the way things were, she could leave.
Are you kidding me? I'm doing a letter writing campaign. That's like the most like tame form of activism that you could possibly do.
Despite the pushback, hundreds of letters and emails came in. With a few other organizers, Whiteley delivered the letters to church headquarters at Temple Square in Salt Lake City. And then, a few months later, this happened.
The benediction will then be offered by Sister Jean Stevens, First Counselor.
Our beloved Father in Heaven, we come before thee at the conclusion of this magnificent opening session.
That was super powerful.
Whiteley says she couldn't help but cry. It was incredible to see a change happen so quickly. But no credit was given to the Let Women Pray organizers. In fact, a church spokesman said the movement had no influence on their decision.
It didn't surprise me, but it in some ways did feel a little bit like gaslighting.
And Whiteley says this is a pattern she has seen repeat itself. Most recently, former LDS Bishop Sam Young advocated for changes to the sexually explicit questions local church leaders sometimes ask youth in one-on-one interviews. The church did revise its guidelines, but said Young had nothing to do with it, and he was later excommunicated, which is the risk Latter-day Saint activists take. But it wasn't always like this. Lisa Olson Tate is a historian who works for the church, and she says about 100 years ago, getting the attention of top church officials was easier.
There's a channel, there's an avenue for back and forth, for ideas to flow in both directions.
Tate specializes in the history of the church's young women's organization. And to use that as an example, back in the 1920s, some local congregations decided to start a summer program for young women called Girls Camp.
That camping idea takes off and takes hold in the young women's program so that by the 1930s, camping is an established part of the program.
Back then, if you had an idea for a change, you could pretty easily chat with a leader in Salt Lake City who could either make the change themselves or go directly to the church president. But this was at a time when the church was relatively small. We're talking less than a million members, far less than the 16 million worldwide today. But in the 60s and 70s, church membership more than quadrupled. Church leaders wanted to keep this growing church from splintering, so they introduced something called correlation. All of the church's organizations were streamlined into one, and church power fully rested with top male leaders.
The big thing that happened with implications for the Young Women's Program was the discontinuation of that line of authority, that line of reporting and communication from the local to the general.
The age of grassroots change was over. But to be clear, that example of Girls Camp wasn't exactly controversial. Mormon scholar and professor Matthew Bowman says there's been a long history of activists petitioning church leaders, especially back in Joseph Smith's time. He was criticized for the way he led the church, spent church members' money, and on the practice of polygamy. And how did he react?
Fairly harsh.
Many of these activists, like today, were excommunicated, and a lot of them even started their own splinter churches. So where does this leave the average Latter-day Saint who thinks things could be a little different? Well, the advice church leaders give is to talk to your local leader, your bishop.
The response to go talk to your local leadership, I don't think that is useless.
Bowman calls this the long game. A lot of people have to bring the same concern to their local leaders, who then have to push it up the ladder. Or?
There is one way to try to get in touch with, you know, the top leaders of the church, and that is letters.
Which brings us back to Amber Torby Whiteley. It's important to point out that Whiteley hasn't been a lifelong member of the LDS Church. She joined as a teenager, and part of what drew her in was the Latter-day Saint doctrine that each person can receive personal revelation.
For me, that's kind of the church that I fell in love with.
But it's not exactly how she sees the church operating today. Instead, she sees an organization that is entirely top-down. And when you advocate for change, if you're lucky, you might live to see it happen. But don't expect to get the credit. Lee Hale, KUER News.